Hello, everybody. This is Jeff J. Brown, China Rising Radio Sinoland, and founder of the Seek Truth from Facts Foundation. Today's show is all about the incredible symbolism that goes into speeches given by Xi Jinping, especially his New Year ones on January 1st. It's entitled "The Remarkable Symbolism That Goes Into a Xi Jinping Speech," with 20 visuals to tell the story. The last analysis I did on Xi's speech decor was in 2017. See above and check it out. I also did an article on this year's speech, and the link is provided above. If you want to watch it, it's subtitled in English on YouTube and only about 12 minutes long. Now I want to go through and analyze all the symbolism because it's really fascinating and an open window into the soul of the Chinese people. The first one before the speech starts with the Great Wall. Of course, the Great Wall symbolizes China's glorious history. It symbolizes strength. It signifies security, protection, etc. My wife and I and our daughter, over the years, we have spent days and days on the Great Wall. I don't know exactly where this is. We like to go to Gubeikou, Sematai, and Mutianyu, but that city behind the Great Wall is either Miyuan or Huizhou. I've got a great story in my first book of the China Trilogy, 44 Days Backpacking in China, when my wife and I were in that area driving in a car, and what a crazy wild story that was. Anyway, having a city in the background connects the ancient with the new, progress, a big modern city not far from the Great Wall, to seal the two together. In this second photo, we have the Olympic Village from the 2008 Olympics in Beijing with the Olympic Tower. Straight back along the axis of the walking lane that cuts the picture in half, you can see the bird's nest, the very famous ice skating rink that captured the world's imagination. My wife and I and our daughter took lots of walks in this Olympic Park. It's really beautiful. There's no traffic. You can see there's no cars there because it's a huge pedestrian zone. Very nice to go visit there. Guess who oversaw the 2008 Olympics? Xi Jinping, before he became president. The Chinese know this, so the symbolism is felt. In October 2007, Xi moved up from Shanghai Party Secretary, where he solved a corruption scandal, to Beijing as one of the 9 members of the Politburo Standing Committee, the highest governing body in the party. It was there that Xi was given the Olympic portfolio, and as we all know, it is still considered one of the best Olympics in history. In the next one above, it's very interesting for me. This is Chang'an Boulevard that shoots off at 10 o'clock and that leads to Tiananmen Square and Zhongnanhai, where the leaders live. Again, this is to show Beijing as the center of power, modern, clean, etc. However, this is actually quite personal for me because you see in the foreground there's 5 buildings. There's 2 black office towers kind of rounded at the corners, 2 apartment towers between them that are all lit up, and then a kind of curved building. This is the China World Trade Center, and that curved building is actually the China World Trade Center Hotel. That complex is where my wife and I lived from 1990 to 1994, before moving to a house from 1994 to 1997. This is where we had our first daughter. The second daughter was in the house in 1996. And we lived in the second tower to the right on the 28th floor. My office was in the first tower on the left. I think we were on the 14th floor. Therefore, this is really cool for me to see this outtake. It brings back a lot of memories. Personal nostalgia aside, it is symbolic for Xi showing China modern, progressive, conducting international trade, etc. Next, here's a map of Tiananmen Square to help you follow this post. In the next picture, above, we jump back to the old days. This is Tiananmen Street, which is south of Tiananmen Square. And this photograph is being taken from the Tiananmen Archery Gate, which was, of course, used back when Beijing was a walled-in city. Archers stood on that gate to guard to the south. This is looking straight south, and that is Tiananmen Archway, the green-capped archway in the photo. When my wife and I lived in China from 1990 to 1997 in Beijing, we used to come here to Tiananmen Street, and it was a dump. It goes back to the Qing Dynasty in the 1500s. In the 90s, nothing had really changed. It was wild, woolly, crazy, and run down. There were shops everywhere and a labyrinth of rabbit runs, little streets and tiny stores and stands everywhere. When we got back in 2010, they had completely redone it, as you see it today, as if it were a Qing Dynasty street, but everything's all brand new. You can see over on the right-hand side, lower right-hand corner, a Starbucks logo. Everyone's there, Haagen-Dazs, Sephora, Swatch, Zara, H&M, all the Western stores are there, with, of course, scuds of Chinese outlets, restaurants, tea houses, and grocery stores. It's got a really cool tramway that you can see. It runs the length of it because it's quite long. It's a good kilometer and a half. Therefore, for Xi's speech, we're jumping from the new to the modern, flashy Beijing, and now we're going back to the ancient Beijing, but it's been updated, renewed, improved, opening up to the outside world with Starbucks in the video. And here's another map to help you visualize your visit and the speech. Next, if you turn around from that last picture, the above is shot from Tiananmen Archery Gate looking due north. You can see down at the bottom, the top of the archery gate, the roof, and across the boulevard, you see some trees there on a wall. That is actually Tiananmen Gate. That was actually the southern gate that got you into the inner sanctum of Beijing, which is today Tiananmen Square. Then the next step back, you see a gold-looking building with a black roof. That is Mao Zedong's mausoleum. And of course, my wife and I visited it several times, and we spent hours and days on Tiananmen Square hanging out because it's just an amazing place. Then behind that, you see that this white thing sticking up. This is actually the monument to the people's heroes. It's 38 meters tall. It's made out of marble and granite mined, of course, in China. It's really spectacular. There's two very socialist Russian-looking statues long on each side of it, people fighting with guns and advancing forward in very Soviet style. I'm telling you about this because everybody in China knows this by heart. The people are relating to this as they're getting ready to listen to Xi Jinping. People telling me, oh, China is not communist. China is not socialist. China is a capitalist country. Well, it's both, but it's first and foremost communist and socialist. China is founded on revolution, movements, and uprisings to get to where they are today. On the pedestal of the People's Heroes Monument are huge bas reliefs depicting eight major revolutionary episodes, which can be read in chronological order in a clockwise direction from the east, of course, the east, China in the east. And just listen to these. This is what people learn at school in China. And just listen to this, because this really gives you an understanding and what is important to the Chinese. Number one, destruction of opium in Hunan in 1839 in the run-up to the First Opium War. The Jin Tian Uprising, the catalyst of the Taiping Revolution in 1851. The Wuchang Uprising, the catalyst for the Xinhai Revolution in 1911, the May 4th Movement in 1919, The May 30th movement in 1925, the Nanchang Uprising in 1927, the War of Resistance against Japan 1931 to 1945, and number 8, the Yangtze River Crossing Campaign of the Chinese Civil War in 1949. On the front of the monument is an inscription in Mao Zedong's handwriting which reads, quote, "Eternal glory to the people's heroes," end of quote. And the picture here shows the epitaph in gold, and then there's another picture to show the People's Heroes Monument in front of the Great Hall of the People looking to the west. Yes, that's right. On the back of the monument is an epitaph written by Zhou Enlai, who most of you should know. He was the premier and the international public face of China during the Mao era. And his epitaph is actually almost like a poem. Quote, "Immortal glory to the people's heroes who laid down their lives in the people's war of liberation and the people's revolution in the past 3 years. Immortal glory to the people's heroes who laid down their lives in the people's war of liberation and the people's revolution in the past 30 years. Immortal glory to the people's heroes who, since the year 1840, have given their lives in the many struggles to resist the enemy, domestic and foreign, to strive for the independence of the nation and the freedom of the people." End of quote. The time framing the 1840s was intended to encompass China's modern history, beginning with the Opium Wars, the period of the 1840s to the 1940s as an anti-imperialist and revolutionary century. I've written about this. For the Chinese, modern history started in 1839 with the First Opium War, and from 1839 to 1949, 110 years is called the century of humiliation, when the United States, England, and France principally, but also about 10 or 12 other countries, raped and plundered this country during that time. In the West, we're not really talking about revolution. France is now in huge denial about their French Revolution. They trashed Napoleon. They trashed the revolution. When was the last time in America have you heard about the American Revolution from the people's point of view? Not very often anymore, but in China, it's front and center. So then, from the picture above, if you go from the archery gate over Mao Zedong's mausoleum, over the monument to the people's heroes, and you're in the huge area that's Tiananmen Square. Again, off to the left is the Great Hall of the People with the red flags on top, and off to the right is the National Museum with the tall columns. Both are just incredible. So now we are looking over Tiananmen, which means Heavenly Peace Gate. It just reeks of symbolism for Xi's speech. There's Mao's massive portrait on the front that's been there since 1949. The Chinese words on the left say, "The People's Republic of China, may it live for 10,000 years. And then to the right of the Mao portrait, it says, "Peoples of the world, unite for 10,000 years." You can see off to the left and to the right, two white identical statues on to the sides. Those are celestial lions that hold the universe in one of their paws to protect the people, to protect the emperor, to protect the country, etc. Of course, nowadays, no more emperor. We've got a modern government. So that is Tiananmen. You can see right above Mao's portrait, the state seal of the People's Republic of China. My wife and I have walked through the gates and stood on top of it many times on the dais above Mao's portrait. Moving to the next outtake, if you go to the left of Tiananmen is Zhongnanhai, which means Central or Center South Sea, because it has quite a few lakes in it. This is where the emperors and their families used to live. Behind Tiananmen is the Forbidden City. Most of this was, for hundreds and hundreds of years, its administrative public part, the inner sanctum of government. After liberation in 1949, Zhongnanhai became the official residence of the top leadership of the country, including, of course, today, Xi Jinping. To get into Zhongnanhai, you have to go through this next picture, and this is Xinhuamen. Xinhuamen means New China Gate. It was actually built in the Qing Dynasty in 1758. It's quite interesting. Even though it was built in the Qing Dynasty, it's done in Ming Dynasty style, which was the dynasty roughly from the 1300s to the 1600s, and the Qing Dynasty roughly from the 1600s to 1911, when Imperial China finally ended. As you go into Zhongnanhai, there is a red screen with some Chinese writing. This is the next picture. That is Mao Zedong's very famous motto for the people and for the revolution, serve the people. Every time Xi Jinping and anybody else goes into Zhongnanhai, they see Mao Zedong's motto with his absolutely unique calligraphy style. In fact, it's a style that's so unique that there's actually a font, a Chinese font that you can use to get Mao's script. On our business cards, when we had our tutoring school in Shenzhen from 2017 to 2019, we actually used Mao's font for the name of our company. So now you're walking in into Zhongnanhai, and in the next picture, there's Xi Jinping sitting at his executive desk. This is a bit like the Oval Office in the White House, where the president works on a day-to-day basis. From this point on, I liberally copied and pasted text from three South China Morning Post articles, one from January 2024, 23, and 22, to describe these pictures. It would also help if you read, watch, listen to the article I did in 2017, which would create a bridge up to today. Xi has given a New Year's address annually since 2013, when he was elected president. The photos placed on the bookshelf behind him were carefully chosen to promote an image of him as a leader of the people. As in previous years, Xi delivered his speech from behind a desk with the national flag and an image of the Great Wall of China behind him, as well as bookshelves that displayed framed photographs. The photos are selected to spotlight key events and highlight progress or achievements made during the previous year. One showed him at a tea plantation in Yunnan province, another chatting to soldiers in their barracks. Xi was also shown as a leader in combating the coronavirus pandemic. In one photo, Xi is holding his fist in a gesture of add oil, jiayou in Chinese, a very, very famous saying in Chinese, jiayou, you know, go, 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 to encourage the medics of the nation. He said, quote, "You must have faith. We will definitely be victorious," end of quote, read the caption for a photo of Xi Jinping talking to medics at Beijing Ditan Hospital. We've been to the Ditan Hospital in Beijing. But that was Xi in February of last year. Other editions depicted some of Xi's key moments of 2022, including his attendance at the G20 Bali Summit in November, and trips to Hong Kong and Xinjiang, as well as Shanxi and Shanxi provinces. There was also a picture of Xi delivering his work report at the 20th Party Congress in October, which saw him kick off his groundbreaking third term as the party's leader. And the president for the third term. The rest of his office was largely unchanged from last year. The video footage showed Xi still has three telephones on his desk, one white and two red. The, quote, red machines, end of quote, as they are known, are encrypted and used only by senior Chinese officials. Next, nice photo. This next picture shows a pretty young woman, and that is Peng Liyuan, the wife of Xi Jinping. She went on to be a ranking officer in the People's Liberation Army and a nationally famous pop singer. I mean, really, really well known. In fact, Peng, I've got several of her CDs. Peng was more famous and more well known than Xi Jinping when they got married. She was already a rock star in China. Unfortunately, I cannot tell you what the book titles say because they're too fuzzy. I'm sorry about that. Family portraits, travel snaps, and military memories were on display for Chinese President Xi Jinping's New Year's address as the annual broadcast delivered a message of seasonal cheer and party loyalty. The selection of the photos stressed his credentials as a family and party man. Under Xi, the Communist Party has pledged to strengthen family education and foster traditional family values. Xi spoke of how China had overcome the COVID-19 pandemic and rebooted its economy after the country almost ground to a standstill because of the government's lockdown measures. The photograph display was highlighted in an interactive article by state broadcaster CCTV. So the Chinese actually go and look at these programs to see what each photo is. It all gets processed by the Chinese people. Quote, Xi Jinping greatly values family life and family education, end of quote. It said in its introduction to a family portrait of Xi with his wife Peng Liyuan and daughter Xi Mingzi. Quote, the family is life's first classroom. Parents are a child's first teacher, end of quote. It said, quoting Xi's own words. The report said many of the photos had never been shown in public before. There were several other photos of Peng, both with Xi and on her own. Chinese leaders tend to keep details of their family lives private, so the exposure given to Peng, a former professional singer, was unusual. Several family portraits were also seen for the first time, including a photo of his father, Xi Zhongxun, an older photo of Xi and his wife, Peng Liyuan, as well as a photo of Xi with his wife with his parents, a group photo showing Xi, his wife, and his daughter at a very young age were also added to the collection. Next picture. Compared with the photos that appeared during last year's New Year's speech, some of this year's pictures appeared to focus on economic and development themes as the country faces a sluggish post-pandemic recovery and worsening trade relations with the West. This is a photo of Xi's September trip to Yiwu in eastern Zhejiang province, showing him waving to people as he touted the city's achievements in becoming the world's largest export center for small manufactured goods. Zhejiang is symbolic for Xi. In 2002-2003, Xi was the provincial governor and party secretary. There he focused on industrial development to promote sustainable development, as so it all ties in for Xi's speech. Another photo from an October trip showed Xi visiting a branch of the oil firm Sinopec in Jiangxi province, where he stressed the role of petrochemicals in China's economy and the importance of energy security. Other images highlighted trips to Guangdong and Guangxi provinces to learn about local rural agricultural development and visits to flood-stricken areas in Beijing and Hebei. Then the next picture, Xi visits Wuhan, that sounds familiar, doesn't it, in March 2023, where China's coronavirus outbreak began. Of course, he's asking people questions. How's business? What's going on? How are profits? How about prices? Are they doing well? What problems do they have? Etc. All right, then this great picture here. Here is Xi Jinping makes a public pledge of allegiance to the Constitution at the Great Hall of the People in Beijing in March 2023. After being re-elected president by the National People's Congress, China's top legislature, Xi held up his right fist for a constitutional oath and placed his left hand on the red leather copy of China's Constitution. power to the people. During the oath, she said he would work hard to build a prosperous, democratic, civilized, and harmonious socialist country. Westerners don't like to hear that word. At the Party Congress in October 2022, she was reconfirmed as head of the Communist Party and the military. The reappointment as head of state in March last year made him the country's most powerful leader in decades. This is a really interesting picture, the next one. They look pretty nerdy. I mean, they really do. It looks like it's really a kind of a funny photo. Jiang Zemin and Hu Jintao have become the first former leaders to feature be featured in the president's bookshelf, with other photos showing highlights of 2022. Former President Jiang Zemin's passing was acknowledged in the speech with two pictures added to Xi's office collection. Jiang is Xi's predecessor, who died in November, age 96. Jiang ruled China from the early 1990s to the early 2000s and was accorded Beijing's highest protocols with a series of ceremonies to mark his passing. In his speech broadcast on Saturday night, Xi referred to Jiang's death, saying, quote, "We miss deeply his great achievements and noble manners and cherish his treasured spiritual legacies," end of quote. The above picture was undated and appeared to be an unofficial location. It showed Jiang standing between Xi and former President Hu Jintao at the gate of an unknown building. Hu, aged 80, was last seen in public on December 5th, just 4 months ago, when he joined Xi and dozens of other top officials to bid farewell to Jiang a day before the official state funeral at Beijing's Great Hall of the People. The West went crazy when he left the meeting that was going on, saying that Xi wanted to humiliate Hu Jintao. What actually happened, I looked into it, was simply, Hu has Alzheimer's. His doctor reluctantly let him go to the meeting. He was totally disoriented and was not capable of continuing. And so for his safety, his doctor came out and took him out of the meeting. It had nothing to do with anybody, some evil plot to get rid of him or humiliate him. That's very typical Western big lie propaganda machine, projectile vomit. The books shown, the first one on the right is from Deng Xiaoping's collected works, and then the next three are the three volumes of Jiang Zemin's books that he wrote. On the left, with the red print, that is actually Mao Zedong's handwriting. It's the famous four-volume collection of Mao Zedong's selected works. He wrote much, much more than that, but this analogy is very symbolic. It's tying together Mao, Deng, Jiang, Hu, and himself in chronological order, 1949 to 2024. Very, very interesting. Also added to this year's collection were two pictures of Xi with his daughter Mingzi, taken when she was very young, and two of Xi himself, also at a young age. A more recent photograph of Xi and his wife Peng Liyuan were also shown. All right, the next picture. This new photo in Chinese President Xi Jinping's office shows his father, Xi Zhongxun, with the white hair, raising a toast to Jiang Zemin, and to the back right, next to the photograph frame on the right, Premier Zhu Zhongji, back at that time in 1999. Jiang was hosting the National Day Gala on September 30th, 1999. The elder Xi was a former general in the People's Liberation Army, a Politburo member between 1982 and 1987, vice premier, as well as a member of the party's general secretariat, which handles daily paperwork and logistics. Another photo showed the two Xis together in Hainan in 1979, when Xi Jr., the current president, was a student at Tsinghua University in Beijing, A biography of Xi's father was positioned behind the photo. The photos of Xi with his father, along with others showing a young Xi in military uniform, appear to stress his lifelong ties to the Communist Party, a theme also prevalent in his speech. Quote, 2021 will see the 100th birthday of the Communist Party of China, upholding the principles of putting people first and remaining true to our founding mission. We can break the waves to reach the destination of realizing the great rejuvenation of the Chinese nation, he said. It's 100-year journey, a surges forward with great momentum, end of quote. Well, what does all that mean? This whole idea of China's great rejuvenation is after 5,000 years of being the biggest economy, most powerful, most scientific, invention-wise, innovation-wise, the most advanced in manufacturing, weapons, etc. All of a sudden, 1839, China hits its nadir. The First Opium War. England starts raping and plundering it. Then the Americans, French, and other countries wanted a piece of the colonial loot. That was the Second Opium War. And China was on its knees until 1949, when Mao, the Communists, and the People's Liberation Army liberated China on October 1st, 1949. To the left of the photos are books by Jiang Zemin and Deng Xiaoping. To the right are, quote, selected important documents since the 19th National Congress, end of quote. They contain 65 important documents from the 19th National Congress held in October 27 to the closing of the second session of the 13th National People's Congress in March 2019 with about 660,000 words. I wrote much about Xi Jinping and Xi Zhongxun, his father, in the China Trilogy. If you'd like, take a look at the books. And then in the next photo, Chinese President Xi Jinping, front row center, next to Vladimir Putin to his right, and other leaders pose for a group photo during the Third Belt and Road Forum for International Cooperation at the Great Hall of the People in Beijing in October. The two-day event, the first Belt and Road Forum to be held after the pandemic, attracted representatives of 130 countries and 30 global organizations to Beijing. In his address to the forum, Xi said China wanted to strengthen infrastructure, cooperation, and interconnectedness by promoting more high-level development with other countries. Quote, while pursuing its development, China has also embraced the world and fulfilled its responsibility as a major country, Xi said in his speech carried by state broadcast media. And just to let you know about the Belt and Road Initiative, it's for a lot of people out in the West, it's a bit of a mystery. It's a world map that shows all of the countries who are participating, about a good 150, about 150 peoples loving developing their countries. Thanks to the BRI, the West, India, and Australia are holding out, and surprisingly, Brazil too. This is Jeff J. Brown, China Rising Radio Sinoland, and the founder of Seek Truth from Facts Foundation. Have a great day.